Today, I'd like to start with a quote from James Bell from Facebook. He says, "One of the dangerous sides of consumer Christianity is that people begin evaluating churches the same way they evaluate restaurants, gyms, streaming platforms, or brands. Did I enjoy it? Did it meet my needs? Did it inspire me enough? Did my family like the experience?" But the New Testament asks completely different questions. Are people being formed into holiness? Are believers carrying one another's burdens? Is the gospel being proclaimed faithfully? Are disciples being made? And is the church reflecting the character of Christ? Consumerism trains people to think church exists for them. The kingdom of God teaches people that they exist for Christ. Let's let that sink in for a moment. Consumerism trains people to think church exists for them, but the kingdom of God teaches people that they exist for Christ. When I read that, I really had to stop right there and start asking so many questions. I had a period of reflection. Why am I here every Sunday? Why are we here every Sunday? And is it only on a Sunday? And then, well, I love how the Spirit leads you. I felt that I should pause my study on Exodus, and I was where God was instructing the Hebrews on making the tabernacle and making priestly garments, and I just had a yearning to get back to Jesus and his ministry. So I started inhaling Matthew. Matthew 3, 2 verses 3, it says in there, where John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight.'" About 30 years after Jesus was born, there was a rather strange occurrence. There was this man, I'm sure we all know him by name, and he started preaching about repentance. Now, let's clarify before we go any further what repentance is. Because if we don't fully understand what it is, then how can we truly repent, right? So, according to the Oxford Dictionary, I need to sign up to get their interpretation, so we will skip them. I then went to dictionary.com, and they were a lot more helpful. So, it says that it is to feel sorry, self-reproachful, or contrite for past conduct, regret, or be conscience-stricken about a past action, attitude, etc. It also says that it is to feel such sorrow for sin or fault as to be disposed to change one's life for the better, to be penitent. So this means that repentance is about doing an about-face, a 180-degree turn. It's from the kind of self-centeredness that leads to wrong actions, such as lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, taking revenge, abuse, and indulging in sexual immorality. A person who repents stops rebelling and begins to follow God's way of living, prescribed in His Word. So John was quoting Isaiah, one of the greatest Old Covenant prophets, and we read this from Isaiah 40, verse 3, where he says again, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Like Isaiah, John was a prophet who urged people to confess their sins and live for God. They both taught that the message of repentance is good news for those who listen and seek the healing forgiveness of God's love, but also that it is terrible news to those who refuse to listen and in doing so cut off their only hope. It sounds like a lot of what is going on these days, and it's been going on for thousands of years, since sin entered the world through Satan's devious tactics. And what John was doing was preparing the way for Jesus. He was the guy that was doing the teaser trailer, like we're all too familiar with on these different types of media that we're all exposed to. But his message was strong. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Something big is coming. Get ready. And what really struck me as I read and reread these lines is that John was a bit of a weird dude. Verse 4 tells us that John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. I'm sorry, but the only thing my mind sees is a madman with wild eyes. But this guy was different. Verses 5 to 6 say, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." So let's take a moment to try and understand this. And I'm using my own imagery here, but there is this guy dressed in clothing of coarse camel hair, eating insects and honey. I mean, something truly bizarre mixed with the sweetness of honey. It's not quite the milk and honey that we were told about. But Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region around that, which includes Decapolis, which was a Greek conglomerate of cities, 10 cities, that would have included the Gentiles. So the Gentiles were not excluded from this. And that Judea is basically Israel. It is the land of the Jews. They all came to see what he was up to. They were curious about this man with strange clothing and weird eating habits. But people may also be curious about your Christian lifestyle. And this curiosity can be an opener to share how Christ makes a difference for you and how he can for them. Last week, my mom shared about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in situations like this, lean into the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you and your tongue. You'll be amazed at the things that come out. So this man, John, he was preparing the hearts and the minds of the people for the coming Messiah. But why repentance? I mean, surely we can come to God whenever we want to, and he will accept us and love us. True. But what state are you in? And are you in a space mentally and emotionally, even spiritually, to hear and accept what he has for you? So think about it. If you have dirty hands, you don't just stick your hands into your plate of food and start eating. No, you go and you wash them first. And by washing your hands, it immediately reveals the results of a cleansing. Same way, in repentance, we are washing ourselves clean, removing the dirt inside to make a clear and clean slate to work with. John was using a symbolic action that the people could see and understand, which is baptism. The Jews were very familiar with this practice, as baptism was used to initiate their new converts. But here, baptism was being used as a sign of repentance, to make that turn, a change of behavior. Confessing your sins to the Lord and repenting from your behavioral patterns is what begins the change. It is what allows the Holy Spirit to do the work on you and in you. Do others notice a difference in you? Have you noticed any behavioral changes in yourself? A changed life with a new and different behavior makes your repentance real and visible. Mark 1 verses 14 to 15 say, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" I don't know if you caught that one, but the time is fulfilled. Jesus is not saying anything new here. He is saying that everything that came before, every prophet, every promise, every word that John had preached in the wilderness, it was all pointing to this exact moment. The preparation is over. The king has arrived. And his very first public words, repent, believe. Not come and be comfortable, not come and be entertained. Repent, turn around, because something has changed forever, and you need to be ready to receive it. John's mission was to open our hearts through repentance so that Jesus could fulfill his ministry. Here is why this matters so urgently now. Repentance wasn't just the message that opened Jesus' ministry. It was the message that preceded his return. And if we look around us, we can see that we are living in the times of the end. The signs are all around us. And just as John was calling out in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord before Jesus' first coming, the call to repentance must go out again, because he is coming back. Peter makes this connection in 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not slow, but he is patient. He is holding the door open, but the call is the same as it was in the wilderness. Repent, turn around, because the kingdom of heaven is not just at hand as it was in John's day. It is right here at the door. Came across something else recently that stopped me in my tracks, and I think it speaks directly to what John and Jesus were both saying. And it's from the Master's University. It says, unbelievers should tremble at the immense holiness of God. The reality of their sin should frighten and sicken them. And the redemptive work of Christ should thrill them to the core. I love this. But the world teaches us the opposite of this. It teaches us that we should find thrills in anything we like. Find thrills in sexual immorality, thrills in gossiping, in getting to the top of that hill before the other guy, and doing what we can to trample them to get us there first. Through very clever and subtle tactics, and I'm not talking dumb luck here, I'm talking about years of aggressive study, we have been altered to put our needs and desires first. The constant flashes of desirable things in front of us that feed that beast. Adverts for new and improved appliances, tools, cars, boats, even provocative and lewd images. And improved faces. I was watching something with my wife the other night, and we were both horrified and a bit sickened at the trend and the accessibility of plastic surgery abuse. And I know that what I'm about to say might sound a bit harsh, but if you are ugly inside, all the cosmetic surgery in the world will not make you more attractive. We live in a world that tells us to fix the outside. But you want true beauty? Start with repentance. Watch what happens to the eyes. They are the windows to the soul. Watch the eyes brighten. Watch them lighten. See the glow when that light bulb gets turned on. And it all starts with repentance. With the willingness to confess your sins. Jesus knows your sins, but that's not the point. Why do we constantly think that Jesus must always come to us when we should be the ones constantly seeking his face? Submit yourselves humbly before him. Confess your sins. Repent. It's not just about forgiveness. It's about not becoming a repeat offender. Not just empty promises to the one who saves. He has made the most incredible, life-altering, eternity-altering promises. And his promises are true, unwavering, and unending. So allow me to ask you these questions about this morning. Did you enjoy it? Did it meet your needs? Did it inspire you enough? Did your family like the experience? I mean, that would be great, no doubt. But more importantly, are you being formed into holiness? Are you carrying one another's burdens? Is the gospel being proclaimed faithfully? Are you being made into a disciple? And are you reflecting the character of Christ? Why are we here every Sunday? I think we've just found the answer.